Welcome to the Star Coalition podcast. I'm Luke Kramer, Executive Director of the Star Coalition. Thanks for joining in as we sit down with thought leaders across research and advocacy who are working tirelessly to make a difference in the lives of those living with brain disorders. I'm really excited today to have Kevin Lynch with us, the CEO of the Quell Foundation. Thank you for being here, Kevin.
Luke, thanks so much for having me this morning.
Well, let me tell you, Kevin's career as a public servant really began as a 12-year veteran of the United States Naval Submarine Force, where he worked on board many nuclear-powered vessels. When an unfortunate injury ended his military career, Kevin chose the healthcare sector to continue his commitment to caring for and fighting for others in their time of need. In 2015, Kevin created the Quell Foundation with a mission to reduce the number of suicides, overdoses, and incarcerations of people who are living with mental illness. Kevin holds a master's degree in healthcare policy and administration from Pennsylvania State University and a bachelor's degree in business administration from Lynn University, where he graduated summa cum laude. He's a lifetime member of the Disabled American Veterans and the United States Submarine Veterans Association. He lives in Falmouth, Massachusetts with his wife, Karen, and their dog, Camus. What kind of dog is Camus?
Camus is a Portuguese water dog, and we love her dearly. Wow. She's part of the family for sure.
Well, listen, we talked a couple of weeks ago and had just a wonderful conversation. And everything we talked about, I felt energized by our conversation. So the first thing I want to do is just really ask, can you tell us about the Quell Foundation, a little bit about what you guys do?
I can, and thanks so much for this opportunity. It's a heck of an introduction to, I've been all over the place, but this is where I was meant to be, to start this foundation. So Quell, over the last 5 years, has become a nationally acclaimed organization known for turning our advocacy work into statistical change. And we are doing this through the development and continued expansion of our prestigious scholarship program, and also our educational documentary series that includes, we're halfway through our second documentary. Our first one is called Lift the Mask, Portraits of Life with Mental Illness. And I know we'll talk a little bit more about that. It follows six families in discussing the care and treatment and support of a member of their family with mental health diagnosis. And now we're working on our next documentary here to help the first responder community, who unfortunately has the sixth highest rate of suicide by profession. So that's what the foundation is doing. Our primary objective is to reduce the number of suicides, overdoses, and the incarceration of people who live daily with the challenges that come with having a mental health illness.
So many challenges. I mean, when we talked about the kind of the fractured system, the lack of treatment, the lack of outreach, the lack of education, stigma, I mean, we've talked about what seems like insurmountable obstacles for individuals who are living with mental illness. But you're using documentaries and some of the visual and spoken word to be able to talk about this. And I, from what I've seen on the website, the individuals that you bring in to talk about these things have such a deep story. Why is it important that we share these things with others?
Well, I think it's important for a couple of reasons. One, it's really generational, Luke, because my generation grew up with the mindset of you walk it off and rub some dirt on it, and we don't talk about this stuff. And it's also cultural. You know, in the African American community, you bring your issues to church. And in the Asian community, we certainly don't want to disparage or embarrass our family. So I think it's important that we talk about this, and so we can give it a face. We want people to see what mental health looks like, somebody with a mental health diagnosis. It's not only what we see in the media and on the news. It's not the folks who are committing all the crimes. While we have the need to be able to reconcile with violent crimes, people with a mental health diagnosis are far more likely to be the victim. So with the documentary, with our scholarship recipients, with our I Am campaign, we are working to give it a face that is contrary to what you may believe mental health looks like. It is not only those people who are on the streets or in prisons or in hospitals. It's the person sitting across from you or next to you, your professor, your family member. It's likely that everyone you know knows somebody. And we're not talking about this. That's really why it's so important to us. Let's put a face to it so we can destigmatize it and normalize this conversation and hopefully encourage these folks to go get the help that they need instead of being embarrassed about it.
You know, a lot of what you do is try to educate young people and really open doors for young people to move into this field of caring and giving, either therapeutically or any aspect of what it takes to help build a foundation for people who are living with symptoms. Can you talk a little bit about maybe the scholarships you guys offer and, you know, maybe a story about one of your recipients?
Oh, sure. It's really where my face lights up because I'm so proud of all of them. So in my root cause analysis, when as you know, when I did my master's degree, it was late in life, and it was primarily to encourage my son to go back. My son had been recently released from prison, and he thought he was too old. So we were going to do this together. And I took every opportunity where I was able to choose a subject to write about. I would research mental health. And in my opinion, and it's certainly supported, the efficacy that's supported, that there is a significant dearth in providers. So the root cause of a lot of the problems that we're having with access, obviously, is that there's not enough people coming into this field. So what do we do about that? I thought that we would start providing scholarships to students that want to be our next generation of healthcare professionals. So we provide, the Quell Foundation provides scholarships called Bridge the Gap to students that are studying to be the next generation of professionals. We provide scholarships to students who have lost a parent or sibling to suicide, and that's our survivor scholarship. My wife, Karen, funds that as she lost her mom at a very young age. And then our fighter scholarship, which is, you know, it's hard to say which one I embrace most because they're all so important to me. But our fighters are students from across this country who have a mental health diagnosis, are currently under the care of a mental health professional, and are going on to school in spite of the challenges that they have. So in the last 4.5 years, we have been able to distribute $1.8 million in scholarships. Wow. We have students in 49 states. We're just missing one. And we have students attending over 450 universities across the country. And our scholarship program, I would share with you, Luke, that it's more than a check and, hey, good luck to you. We have developed relationships with these students. They are part of a peer mentoring program, an internship placement program. Many of them are on our junior board of directors to make sure we keep our eye on what's important in their space. And you asked for a couple of examples. I would say two young women, Michaela Kearney and Claire. I'll just leave it at Claire. Mm-hmm. So Michaela and Claire are both in our documentary, our Lift the Mask Portraits of Life with Mental Illness. Michaela is the child of an interracial couple. Her dad, dark-skinned African-American, mom, you know, Irish Catholic. And at 13 years old, she got off the school bus and found her brother had taken his life. She was the person who found her brother. So you might suspect what it's like for a 13-year-old to go through that with nobody else at home. So Michaela, she was a nationally ranked swimmer. Michaela went on to college. She had to see a healthcare professional for her PTSD. She acted out, as you might suspect, everything that would happen to a child in that circumstance. Michaela was one of our scholarship recipients. In fact, Michaela received all three of our scholarships.
Wow.
She graduated several years ago from Boston College as a psychiatric nurse practitioner. She is currently seeing patients. She was heavily involved in the BIPOC community, especially since COVID-19. And recently, she submitted her application to Johns Hopkins for her doctorate in nurse practice and her MBA, so she can start her own practice helping the underserved population. So she's just a rock star. I mean,
it sounds like it.
Right?
Amazing story, really.
She's doing so great. And Claire was, Claire was a 15-year-old girl, very popular, ended up having some challenges and struggles, multiple suicide attempts, ideation. She was the youngest person in the state of California to undergo electroconvulsive therapy, ECT treatment. It was very successful with her. She missed several years of school, so she took her an aptitude, the California aptitude test. She went on to do 4 years in college, and she left literally last Friday to do a 2-year theater conservatory at the Gaiety School in Dublin. So those are just two of our scholarship recipients of the hundreds and hundreds, and all of them have stories like this. So we're very proud to be in this space and honored to be able to be a part of these young adults' lives.
You know, the way you guys are connecting individuals who have some experience previously in this area, whether it be personally living with symptoms or, like you said, that they've experienced something in their life where they feel like they're drawn to come into this. Even yourself as a veteran, having peer understanding about mental illness and the symptoms that affect people, even as a veteran, when you are with your peers, you guys understand each other. There's something there that connects you. And how important is it that we reach out to this young generation, which I would love to kind of for you to talk a bit about how their view on mental illness is a little different than what we grew up with, but having that personal connection and what it means for those individuals and what they can do in their life when they can truly understand what people are experiencing.
Yeah, Luke, I think this generation, it's one of the reasons that we as a foundation are so hopeful for the future, and that we targeted specifically this younger generation, the college age specifically, because they are the ones who are going to change this. They are absolutely going to change this. So I would say that this is the same generation who stood up to bullying when they were in grade school and in high school.
Right.
This is the same generation who made it socially unacceptable for you to voice a negative opinion about our LGBTQ family and friends. Mm-hmm. So this is a generation who expects you to provide some services for them when they get into the workplace, because this is just part of their life. They're not embarrassed to talk about this. We were very fortunate to have 10 interns this past summer, and we have 8 here this fall. And during any conversation, they may interject with an opinion or advice that they got from their therapist. And they don't hesitate. They're not waiting for a reaction from somebody. It's just part of the conversation.
Right.
They're educating the older adults how to not be so reluctant to reach out and ask for help, because this is not, as I've said to many folks when we do our screenings, a mental health illness is something that happens to you. It's not because of you. And I think that that's important to recognize, and I'm very, very hopeful for this generation. And I see a lot of them coming into the field. They are really socially responsible. When we show our documentary, we encourage them to consider it as a field, mm-hmm. And we're seeing that increase because they want to help each other.
And we're looking ahead and seeing a massive gap in the number of people who are moving into this field as providers, as therapists and psychiatrists. And obviously, you guys are doing what you can to bring people in that fold and fill that gap. It's so, so important. And you're right, young people nowadays, look, you and I are a little older. We're not too old. But you and I probably feel that we have kind of an open, progressive look when it comes to mental health. But really, when you start to talk to young people, I'm just overwhelmed. And I, too, have complete faith that they are going to walk into this with an open heart and an open mind, and they just want to move beyond some of the initial conversations, and they're ready to get to work. They're ready to do something. So it is very hopeful. Listen, how can people get involved in to know more about the Quell Foundation and what they can do to be a part of your organization?
You know, there's several things, but Luke, what I would say is that more important than becoming part of our organization is allowing us to become part of yours. Mm-hmm. Because the relationship that we can develop with the leadership team and employees, it will happen organically, just like our relationship did. It's a conversation where we both feel inspired leaving when we hang up the phone, saying, okay, we have to do more for each other, and how do we share this? So I think that it's important that we work together to reduce the stigma and to encourage open and honest dialogue. If they want to connect with us, they can certainly do that through our Facebook page and our Twitter. So Facebook is the Quell Foundation. Our Twitter account is Quell Foundation. And I would encourage folks to reach directly out to me at klynch at the Quell Foundation. Our goal here is to continue showing the documentary. We have a promising manuscript being developed right now by an epidemiologist I've been working with on the film, the documentary I mentioned earlier, the efficacy of that film's ability to positively influence the viewer. So it actually changed the perception and the beliefs and the attitudes of the viewer around mental health. And it was statistically significant, some of the findings that we had. So we're looking forward to getting that out in the near future.
Continue to do great work, Kevin. It is so inspiring to talk to you. And I really, seriously, I encourage folks to go to the quellfoundation.org. There's three things I ask you to do. Number one, explore. Look at the incredible work that they're doing and the scholarships they're offering, and obviously the documentaries, the way that they're going out and trying to rip stigma away from this. And number two, apply. If you're young and you want to be a part of this field, we need you. Apply for a scholarship. Be a part of it. But number three, no scholarships will be available unless you give. And what percentage of money that's given is actually put over into scholarships?
Well, thank you for that, because the majority of our money, I mean, if I had to give it a percentage, and without looking at my papers right now, if we bring it, last year we brought in $900,000, and I distributed close to $450,000 in scholarships. So 50% of the money that we brought in went to scholarships. We have limited overhead. I do not draw a salary. I pay my own expenses. We have a lot of volunteers. And, you know, the balance of those donations and funds go to develop the documentary. They go to help maybe give a stipend to our interns, but it's also to help with a podcast that we're developing for our frontline healthcare professionals, you know, managing through their own mental health challenges with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And also helps us to afford to finish the filming of our first responder documentary, which is really, really powerful. We have to do something to help these folks as well. So most of our money is going out it's all going in the right direction.
We see everything moving in that same stream, and I'm so happy to talk to you. And Kevin, I would love to come back and visit once you see some of these documentaries come to fruition, and we start moving forward because we would love to do what we can to get the word out about the wonderful work you guys are doing. But thank you so much for joining today, Kevin, and I hope we can speak again very soon.
Luke, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your kindness and this opportunity. Love talking about this subject with you. And thanks for all the work that you are doing with STAR as well.
Well, thank you. And I also want to thank the listeners today for supporting the work of the STAR Coalition. And please support the work of the Quell Foundation, because I believe that both of us and all of us are really working together to try to push forward research and advocacy and education and support, because we have to work together to shape the future. Be sure to follow us on social media as well. Check out our website at www.thestarr.org, T-H-E-S-T-A-R-R.org. And thanks again for joining.